carrefour des arts. À la redécouverte du théâtre musical. Une émission proposée par Christophe Mirambeau sur Canal Académie.
Hello guys, here is Christophe Mirambeau at the Canal Academy Broadcast Studios. Wow, how to say. Today, what an exciting event. I must say, I've got complete stage freak. In a few minutes, I will interview for you an Oscar winner, a wonderful and famous composer, Mr. Howard Shore himself. Mr. Shore in person will be at the Institut de France, just for us. Do I have to introduce Mr. Shore? The Lord of the Ring film score composer? Oh, just go to his official website, howardshore.com, and you'll see his brilliant resume. And now Mr. Shore is in Paris for the premiere of his first opera, The Fly, commissioned by the Los Angeles Opera and the Théâtre du Châtelet. Guess what? Mr. Shore is coming. Let's begin our meeting. Mr. Shore, welcome to Canal Academy. It's a great honor to have you here in our studios because you're a star and you're a great composer, and that counts. And it's very interesting for you and for us to have a living composer composing a new opera in France. So let's jump in the heart of our subject. In your career is opera composing, and The Fly is an achievement, a kind of. What is your point of view about composing opera in your career?
I've always been very interested in opera since the early 80s. And I started to incorporate opera ideas into the work I was doing in films, in the symphonic score to The Fly in 86 was the first symphonic recording that used some of these opera techniques that I became interested in for narrative ideas. And the Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, is really the culmination of all of the things that I was experimenting with for 20 years or 25 years. And that piece is for symphony orchestra, mixed choir, and children's choir, and it uses Tolkien languages. So it's been a lead up to The Fly. That's taken maybe 20, 25 years.
When did you begin to write The Fly, the music of The Fly?
Well, the opera score took 3 years to create. It was approximately 6 months to create the libretto by David Henry Wong, which is a really wonderful libretto, and then a year and a half to set the libretto to the voices and create the piano vocal score, which is really the sketch of the orchestration, and then a year to begin the workshops working with the singers and to create the orchestration. And I like to orchestrate based on the actual orchestra that's doing the premiere. In this case, it's the Philharmonique de Radio France. It's a wonderful orchestra. So I had to study their recordings, and I went to their concerts in France as well to study them. And also the orchestration is also it's also based on the acoustics of the Châtelet Theater. So I had to study the theater as well. And over the course of the last year, that's what I've been orchestrating and studying my singers, the orchestra, the theater.
And it's very rare to have screen composer orchestrating themselves. You are one of them, and so you take a big pleasure to orchestrate.
Well, it's very important for me because of the conducting. It really had to do with the conducting of my music, because as a conductor, it was more thorough for me to orchestrate and to conduct than to conduct another person's orchestration. I had to learn this new score, and I had to learn the orchestration. And actually, in the time that it took to study it and to learn it, it was actually more concise, faster for me to do it myself. And of course, from the podium, that was you had a very intimate relationship with the orchestra and the orchestration, and with the and with the storytelling, and the details of the orchestration are so specific in the case of film to the scene and to the drama unfolding in the cinema, but in the opera as well. I mean, you need to be able to work with the orchestra and the singers in a way that's very precise, and I really do enjoy doing that. And I'm always tweaking things and making little adjustments to it, but that's sort of the fun of it.
Is it thrilling or frightening to write an opera now for these times?
Absolutely wonderful process, and I'm enjoying every moment of it. It's just wonderful because, you know, from the experience that I had working in the theater is really where I began. I started in the theater, and I've been composing music since I was 10. But by the time I was 14 and 15 years old, I was already working in the theater, working with other writers, directors, actors. So it's always been in my nature to be in the theater, and there was a long time away from it. So now to be coming back to the theater with the experience that I've had in writing music for quite a long time, composition, and so it's wonderful coming back. And the artistry is incredible. I have a great director in David Cronenberg. I have a great librettist, David Henry Wong, great conductor, Placido Domingo, Dante Ferretti, the great Italian designer, did the production design. So it's wonderful to work with these great artists. And the cast is experienced, and the singing is beautiful. So I enjoy working with the artistry of the theater.
And when you were commissioned to write an opera by Mr. Domingo, as I read, did your commissioner ask you for a certain kind of opera, and did they ask you for some special stuff they wanted absolutely?
Well, no, I mean, it's been a very collaborative process. There's been many discussions and meetings about the piece, but not just in the libretto stage, but in the design and the casting is, and all of these things are what's important that create the opera. And the libretto was done so skillfully by David Henry Wong. He's such a good dramatist that he initially created such a wonderful template, a form for the staging, and then compositionally. It's using techniques from many different places, ways that I wanted, music ideas that I wanted to express the drama. In the first act, there are things in the beginning scenes that are very light, and as the story progresses into the second act, it actually becomes very darker, and curtains come down and shadows come down, and the story actually becomes quite dark at the end and tragic. So it was just being able to use the compositional ideas in a way to express the drama very, very accurately. And of course, this is something that I understand from working on so many dramatic films. So I'm using techniques that I've learned maybe probably my entire life about how to express ideas in music, how to express dramatic ideas, how to use the orchestra, how to use the voice, how to use the language to tell the story.
Does Lord of the Rings was the first step to go to opera?
Well, the music for Lord of the Rings is very specific to that world. This is a world that was created by Professor Tolkien. It's Middle Earth is a creation 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, and the music that I created for that was the way to express that particular story. Now, The Fly is a very different story. The opera is set in the 1950s, and the terminology, the expression of the ideas are much different. So a different approach really had to be taken to express the ideas. The Fly idea of the opera actually originated from a trip that I was taken in 1986, and I was in Florence, Italy, and I was actually studying opera, Italian opera actually, which I was interested in that period. And I was traveling and studying scores and going to the opera, and I happened to go to a screening of The Fly, which was called La Mosca in Italy. And I started to make the connections between the Italian operas I was listening to and was so interested in and this particular story. And I thought the characters were very good characters. And Brundle, Veronica, and Stathis were just classic characters, just waiting to be expressed in the theater. And the Fly is very respectful of the tradition of opera, and there's moments and gestures which are very classic in their expression, and then there's many modernisms. And as the story progresses, it actually keeps opening up, and as it darkens, it actually takes on more and more modernistic tendencies. So the range of expression in the composition is probably maybe 100 years.
Did you were upset by the weight of the past about opera? Because, let's talk about form and closed form and recitatives, etc.
No, I mean, I love the form of opera, and I love classic opera, and I'm approaching it from the viewpoint of creating a new work based on the things that I love about the tradition, and also wanting to work with a story that was close to me, where the characters really meant something to me, and I can only really write music compositionally in a true expression if I feel very close to the characters. I have to feel that they're a part of me. And these characters I love, and I was able to work with them in the same way I might work with characters like Gandalf and Frodo. I mean, they were very close to me as well. Different musical expression, but you have to feel the connection to it to create music to express their lives. But I also think it's important that we the opera tradition has to have new works. It's exciting to, I think, to have new works created for the theater using I use a very traditional acoustic for the opera, 75-piece symphony orchestra in the pit. There's three principal singers, three secondary roles, and a chorus of 44. All acoustic. There's no amplification, or, you know. So I'm using a very traditional orchestration to express the ideas in the pit, really. And that's, I think. But it's important to keep the tradition alive. You must be creating new works, because that invigorates the form. It brings new people to the opera house and to the theater, and it's exciting to see director of the stature of David Cronenberg, one of the great auteur cinema directors of our age, working with Maestro Domingo. It's exciting to see this collaboration taking place and how the ideas are expressed from one form to another, and something new is created.
And as a creator, do you have in mind what opera goers ask for when they go to the opera, you know? And because they're just very conventional, even in Paris, even sometimes at the Châtelet, which is the most impressive and interesting programmation in Paris. So did you have that in mind, or is just your creation and whatever happens, happens?
Well, I think I'm very interested in the... I know what it is to go to the opera, which I do all the time. I've been going... I've been going to the Metropolitan Opera in New York for maybe 25 years, 30 years, and studying the form. And I know what a good evening is. I know when it comes alive and you're transported into the story and the characters are real and you're swept up in the drama and in the emotion. And the great pieces that I love, they do that. And I think that's always been my goal, is just to have a great night of the theater, that you enter and the curtain goes down and you're in the dark and you're just transported into the story. And that's, it could be in any period, there's great works that do that. And that's really my goal, is really to take the audience into the world of The Fly and keep them there for a few hours. And then when the curtain comes down, to have had an experience that resonated with them, maybe not right in the second that it's over, but in the days after, and you know that the expression of it can be something that they would keep with them and remember.
As a creator, too, what is and was your sensation? Because now with this opera, you're the complete master, the master of the time, because you have not to deal with movie time and director time, etc. So yeah. Is it a special pleasure? Did you write the music of your dreams, exactly the music you wanted to do?
Well, it's a complete joy to write. I must say that having worked in this process and to have the scope that I had with this work, compositionally and in the orchestration, and working with the singers, is just, for me, it's just a pure joy. There hasn't been one day that's not been a good day working on the opera. It just feels natural, and it's very expressive. It's difficult to do. I mean, it's not an easy task, but it's completely enjoyable. I mean, anything that's worth doing is going to take some effort. So, I mean, it has been years in the creation, but it's purely been an enjoyable process.
Did you use very special short skills for singers?
Well, I extend some of my compositional ideas further. Things that I'm interested in counterpoint and harmony, I've taken further than I could have in films. And I think just the scope of it is a lot larger for what's possible compositionally and what you could do in a film. And I appreciate that. I mean, that was principally one of my music ideas about working in the form. I mean, after having written Lord of the Rings, which is essentially a vocal piece, it's a 10.5-hour piece for principally for voice, for chorus, mixed chorus, and children's chorus, and soloists. And it uses five Tolkien languages in the piece. And having done that, I wanted to continue using that, the resources that I had, symphony, orchestra, chorus, and soloists. I wanted to keep working with that, because the more I worked my way through the story, the more interesting it became. But really, after finishing Lord of the Rings, the theater and the opera were the only way I could keep working with the things that I had learned and take the experience from Lord of the Rings and put it into something that really had, you know, meat
meat and bones to it, you know, that I could really attach myself to and really dig in and have a really, a means of expression that I didn't have in working in other forms.
Lord of the Ring was a kind of workshop for opera.
Well, really, I mean, I've been thinking about music since I was very young, 9 and 10. I started studying counterpoint and harmony, and I was writing when I was 10. And by the time I was 11 and 12, I was already creating pieces. So my ideas in music have been very linear, and I always feel like I'm a student of music, and I'm still studying and looking at scores. And it's actually fascinating being in France this long, because I'm hearing. I heard a lot of music that I wasn't hearing so much in America. I heard a lot of French music, essentially, which you weren't hearing, weren't so much aware of, and. I like that. I enjoy that. And incredible. And I've gone to many concerts in Paris of pieces that I wouldn't have heard so frequently. So so I feel like I'm constantly learning. I'm a student of music. And really, to work in films was a way to experiment with music. And the early work that I did, especially with David Cronenberg in the late 70s and the early 80s, was much more experimental, and I was trying many different techniques and different combinations of chamber orchestra. I was working a lot with electronics, pure electronics, really, and tape techniques. And I was experimenting with the recording studio in films like Crash and Existence, experimenting with very small orchestration in films like Spider. And so the Cronenberg work that we've done, which is 12 feature films over 30 years, has really allowed me this real sense of experimentation. And really, a lot of the things that I've learned about music came from working with through that period with David Cronenberg. And then I would offshoot that and go and do movies with Martin Scorsese, and I would do movies with Peter Jackson. But they were always kind of an offshoot of the Cronenberg work. And it was a way for me to expand the ideas that I was thinking about. And the opera uses everything. It's everything you know about music, about drama, about theater, about expression, everything. It's just all-encompassing.
Can you define your musical style for The Fly, not for the others? Because I think you've got, and you have to get special styles for each different movie.
Yes.
Yes. Maybe it's the, don't take badly what I say, the more personal creation for The Fly, maybe.
Well, I always approach the work as a way to express these ideas of the story. That was always the goal. And for instance, in the second act, Brundle goes through the pod at the end of the first act. He merges with the fly at the end of the first act. And in the second act, Brundle has already, the insect and the man are already starting to create they're starting to work together, you know, to create Brundlefly, yeah. And Brundle is very hyperactive, and as to express his hyperactivity, the music is also becoming more active and the energy of it is expressed his energy. So I was always constantly aware of the characters and to use the music ideas that I had such a great canvas with to express their ideas. So I think overall compositionally is a very new work for me. I don't think you would hear it and immediately say, oh, that's like, you know, I think that's like that. I think as a composer, it's very new and original, but I think that there are elements of it that are very much my taste or my choice. And I think you may pinpoint those things and say, oh, I see Howard in this section here. I see where he's going. But, you know, music is an emotional language to me. It's not an intellectual thing. I mean, I, of course, think about it all the time, but I'm happiest when I'm expressing it from a true emotional way. And that's why opera suits me so well, because I'm still working with the words. The words are important. Whether I have Tolkien's words and I'm expressing ideas about Lord of the Rings, in this case I have David Wong's words, the librettist, based on Cronenberg's words from the film, who I know so well. So it's still the working with the words is the thing I think I probably do best, and the ideas and the phrases. And a lot of the way I write is, I think, is expressive in the human the human phrasing and the way the breathing and the way things pulse and the way they move. And so opera is so natural for me working with the voice and with the singers, because I can create all that movement and I can work with their range and I can work with the orchestra. It feels very natural.
And did your musical wills drive you to propose new scenes, new developments in regard of the original movie and novel for your operatic purposes?
Well, David Henry Wong's libretto was so skillfully done, because what he was able to do was to take the ideas from the film, from the story, from the 86 film, and also take some of the ideas from the Georges Lang short story. It's interesting that The Fly was written in France, and it was first published in the late 50s, and he uses some of those ideas as well in the story. But David Henry Wong was able to create the form so beautifully, and what I could do is set his libretto. And, of course, I had lots of room with the orchestra, because there's teleportation involved. I mean, The Fly is a science fiction story. So, yes, there's great singing, and there's wonderful chorus parts. There's the computer is very important character in the story, and it's sung by the chorus.
That was one of my next question about the chorus, because you got a
the
big
chorus. Yes, the chorus is the voice of the computer, and it's very important, and there's a lot of interplay with the chorus. But all of those moments are very much with the orchestra, and I had lots of time and room with the orchestra to do, really interesting things musically around the singing, because of the experiments that were taking place.
Okay, got my kinky question for you, which is a candid one, and I hope a stupid one too. Did you reuse the music from the movie for this new composing?
I used two quotes, two very brief quotes, and because people would ask me that exact question, they say, "Do you use it?" You know, so essentially the answer is no. But I wanted to put it out of the way right away, so I built a bridge between the film and the beginning of the opera. Just very briefly, you hear something. You'll know it when you hear it. And then as soon as it's played, it's just taken off, taken away, and everything new begins. So it was just a way to kind of shake hands with the film and say, thank you very much and goodbye. and then at the end of the second act, there's a phrase at a very dramatic moment. It's actually in the death of Brundle, and where I use a very short quote from the film to bring that moment into perspective.
Was it difficult to get rid of the souvenir of the movie? Because according to me, your music in the movie is like climaxes, short moments, very discreet but perfectly dramatic when they came on the movie. And it's so, of course, different from the opera. And was it difficult to forget what you did for the movie?
Oh, entirely. I forget what I wrote last week. I mean, it's a very linear process. As a composer, I couldn't always tell you everything that I had thought about 2 weeks ago or a month ago. And it's, you know, it's interesting because the cast, I've made so many adjustments to the score, and some of them are very fine. And the cast will sometimes ask me about this, and I say that, you know, is this correct, you know, to do this? And I say that, yes, it's correct. And they say, well, did you want it like the other version? And I say, well, I have to go back and review the other version because I can't really keep all of the music that I write. I write music pretty much every day.
Oh.
So it's a lot of ideas, a lot of, and with The Fly, there was such delicate, detailed, very small adjustments to it. So yeah, I have to keep track of everything, which I do in my notebooks, but it's not in my mind really. The past, it's in the archive. You know, once the day is finished, it goes into the archive. And I have a very good archivist who keeps track of my scores. They're in a vault now in New York, and it's growing. I mean, it's a lot of music.
When you choose your singers, what do you ask for? What do you attend from a singer to sing your music?
Again, I think it's an instinctual, emotional response to the voice. It's very important to me. And I'm interested in a good collaboration with them, very important. And good dramatists, good acting is also essential for me.
Do you have, like, a composer of the past, you know, that's so funny, likes and dislikes about tenors, dramatic sopranos, you know? do you prefer some kind of a type of voice?
I think I do. I mean, I've written the roles in very specific vocal ranges I was interested in, and I've kind of moved some of the standard characters in different roles. The tenor, for instance, plays a different role in The Fly than you might expect. And Brundle is a bass baritone. So I stirred it up a little bit with the voices, and I think it was more just I guess it was a way of expressing the characters and the range that I imagined that they would have. And I didn't hear Brundle as a tenor, and so I couldn't write Brundle as a tenor. Veronica felt like a mezzo, although Ruxandra Donose, such a great singer, is able to reach heights in, you know, that were really unique to her sound. It's fantastic. So, you know, the ranges are extended, both low and high. And I think I use them for different parts of the story. Some of them are more dramatic. It's not so traditional in the sense that things stay in certain categories. I work with the singer very carefully and study them and work with their ranges and their sound, and I'm very interested in all that.
If one day some smart journalist have to define the musical influences you received, what you should like to read about your influences?
Well, we'll see. I can't really predict. I don't know. I know I do my job well when I feel comfortable from my heart. I can feel it. I know when to put my pen down when my heart feels right. And there's just a moment comes. I don't know why, and I don't really question it. But I know even from writing, you know, the music from Lord of the Rings, I knew when it was finished. Even in its simplicity, it could be finished. But I knew that was enough. And sometimes I will go into something where it becomes not truthful. And there's an instinct in me that knows that you've gone into something that you don't quite believe in, so you must come back and go to the thing you feel is right. So I do that. And even if I don't quite understand it all in the moment, I've learned to wait and to let it sit until it feels right. And then I know that it's true expression.
So you feel first and you theorized in second.
Yeah, it's, you know, composition, it's intellectual process and an emotional process. It's the two, and you have to balance the two, the heart and the brain. One is saying enough and the other one says more. And one says go here and the other one says go there. So it's this balance of the two. And actually, I feel as a writer that when I have the balance right, the heart and the brain, you have something good.
Let's talk about inspiration and work. Mm. What part of which word?
Well, I think inspiration is everywhere. And frankly, I've been inspired by being in France this long and being part of the Châtelet and just by spending so much time in the theaters in Paris has actually, I think, been very inspiring. And I think that some of that inspiration, I hope, will come into the production and into my work. I feel that it has. But I, as an artist, I don't wait for inspiration. I write every day. I'm thinking about music every day. And really, it's music is so vast. There's so much to work with. There's so much to learn. There's so many interesting aspects to it. That you're constantly growing, you're constantly learning. I feel like I'm constantly inspired. And at my age, I feel also that as I get older, I have more things I want to do. I'm starting to look at the time a little more carefully than I did when I was younger. And think about what's important to me and how to spend the time and where, how much energy you have and where you should be putting it. Because I don't think I will live long enough to do all the things that I want to do. I think there's too much to do. And so I'm trying to do the things that, that I'm really interested in.
So that means that The Fly won't be your unique opera.
No, I hope not.
Ah.
No, I have another project, which I'm idea for an opera, which I'm starting to set the libretto to, and it'll be a few years away. But I'm so interested in the form and so interested in the process that really the thing that I really want to do, that I'm really, really interested in. I love doing films, and I love that collaboration with great artists in films. But this is, the opera is such a unique experience, and for a composer with the experience, it's a wonderful world to live in.
Is it a sign that The Fly is your first opera and it's the Mr. Cronenberg's first directing for the stage and for opera?
Right. Well, our production is a combination of the novice and the experienced. And that's what I was saying earlier. We have David Cronenberg, who this is his first opera, his first time working in the theater, working with Plácido Domingo, who has spent his whole entire life in the theater and working in opera. Dante Ferretti, the great Italian designer, did 6 movies with Federico Fellini and many movies with Martin Scorsese, but has also done 14 operas in Europe and America. David Henry Hwang, the librettist, has done 4 very successful opera librettos with Philip Glass and Osvaldo Golijov. So we have the experienced with the new. And I think that's interesting. I mean, it makes it a really vibrant combination of people working and listening to each other and coming up with an idea based on experience that they had from another discipline. I think that makes it very interesting. I like that.
Don't you think it's the future of the opera, that sort of collaboration and work about...
Yes. Well, there's a vibrancy there, which I think you'll see in the work. And I think it's healthy, yes.
And what do you think about opera in general, actually, in America, about new operas commissioned by American opera houses and all the opera world in general?
Well, we've enjoyed being in Paris. We saw The Prisoner, the Della Piccola opera at the Garnier, which was incredible and beautiful, and a piece that we wouldn't have seen so readily at the Met. So I enjoy going to different opera houses in different countries, hearing the work expressed in different countries. It's very interesting to me. I think it's healthy, the new commissions. There's some incredible composers writing for the stage and writing new works for opera. There's many great French new French composers writing for the opera. Du Zappin is a wonderful composer. So I'm interested in everything musical.
Do you have some composer asking for help or counseling or sending you new scores for your advice, etc.?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes, it's natural. And I like to teach when I can. I've done master class in Oxford in England and Juilliard in New York. And I'm interested in passing along any information that I have if I can and the time allows. And I love working with students.
Mr. Shore, thanks for this word, and now we have to continue our trip at the bibliothèque.
Very much looking forward to it.
After this so wonderful moment, Mr. Shaw visited the Institute. He went to the Coupole, to the Grande Salle des Séances, and Miss Durand-Lacaze was a perfect guide. Then he went to the library of the Institute, where Mrs. Pastoureau showed some musical manuscript treasures to Mr. Shaw. A Cherubini Mass, a Debussy score, the autograph manuscript of Camille Saint-Saëns' symphony with organ. Of course, our indiscreet mice were there.
John Haydn, yes. End of the 18th century. Mm-hmm. It is not his own writing, but it is manuscript copied at the time.
At the time, yes. Oh, so beautiful. Look at that. Mm-hmm. So incredible. The detail and the beautiful... Beautiful work.
It's a mess.
Do you have any of the sketches, Haydn, of sketch?
I don't think so.
Just the finished. Because this was created by the copyist who created this. Yeah, it's beautiful.
So this is Cherubini. It is printed. He was member of the Academy of Fine Arts here. He was elected in 1815. It's a Requiem Mass, and it is printed, and it is written that it belongs to the author.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the owner of his own music and all the publications.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you like to turn the pages, of course.
I just see the first page, the première page.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Yes. By Camille Saint-Saëns, who was also a member of the Academy of Fine Arts, elected in 1881. Mm-hmm. And it was given by himself to this library in 1918. Mm-hmm. And it is a manuscript.
Is this in his hand, or is it? We don't.
We don't know. Maybe.
Yes.
Yes. You
yes,
know.
It is. Yes.
You think it is?
Yes, it is.
Debussy scores look this precise too. But these must be finished editions where they're copying them and just making like the finished perfect edition. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's why
it's the pre-version to give to the publisher.
To the publisher
and the copyist.
Yes.
Because it's very
detailed.
And
if there was an error, they would just redo the page, do another page. That's beautiful, incredible.
And the last one is by Claude Debussy.
Yes.
And we have four manuscript pages. This is printed. Mm-hmm. This is the printemps. Oui. And here we have manuscript pages by himself.
Yes. Near we're staying in near Saint-Germain-en-Laye, where the Musée de Debussy, where he grew up, and they have a lot of his scores. So I've gone there to see these this very beautiful, delicate hand. This is the printed.
Yes. The rest is the piece is printed.
This is printed.
Just four pages at the beginning.
These pages
were added. And correction.
Look at this. That's beautiful, incredible delicacy with that pen. Look at this. How fine. Finally, the work is incredible. When I first started to write music, I worked as a copyist. I would copy scores in New England Conservatory, a master thesis, and we would sit at a big table like this, a lot of people with, and they would do, I would do this in ink, you know, with a quill, with an ink, like a type of quill pen. That was in the 60s. But now everything is all engraved.
Computer,
oh, like I use a computer. But I still write with pencil. I don't use a computer. I use it. Yes, I do the composition in pencil. And then I do the orchestration in ink. And the reason I do the ink, I use the ink, is that I developed carpal tunnel syndrome from writing so much. So my hand ached all the time. So I went to the doctor, and he said, "What do you do?" And I told him, and he said, "Don't do it." I said, "Well, I must. I mean, I have to write." So he suggested to use a pen because there was less drag to it, you know, and the pencil was harder. Exactly. So I just started orchestrating in pen, and then if it was a mistake, I would just scratch it. So that it was a simple thing, really.
We were all so happy to have Mr. Shaw in our venerable house. It really was an exciting moment. To end our award show broadcast, let's give the last word and the ultimate formula to Mr. Jean Tullard, member of the Institute, wishing his best to Mr. Shaw for the Fly premiere at the Châtelet.
Nous vous souhaitons un triomphe. Je suis l'auteur d'un dictionnaire du cinéma et pour moi, le meilleur film que j'ai vu, c'est La Mouche Noire. Mais la version Kurt Neumann, The First Fly. Car véritablement, c'est une invention extraordinaire, le transfert de l'énergie d'une cabine une autre cabine est extraordinaire. Alors, j'ai hâte de voir votre spectacle au château.